Well, hello there. You're almost listening to Cheap Hooch, but not quite this week. So as you, many of you might know, or some of you might know, or one of you might know, we are now sharing a time slot with my other podcast, and I've got here my awesome members. They'll just say a quick hello, and then we're going to go ahead and play a little bit of music so we can get set up, because I don't know if you know this, but we actually take video.
Yep.
So I did want to do the intro for Cheap Hooch so that people know that Cheap Hooch is still around. But today, let me go ahead and bring this down. But today is for Fog City Horror. I'm excited. I'm super excited. So I'm going to go ahead and play some music. And after that, we'll come back with some movie reviews of some of your favorite horror movies out there. Fog City Horror is coming up.
I had no idea what I
Well, we must have been high from the fumes, 'cause we were yelling and screaming like some kids or demons throwing punches in a pitch black room. And so we made our escape, swinging poisonous snakes, getting cut up on the razor wire. But we didn't give a fuck, 'cause we were so fucked up and tired. So we jumped in.
Hey, radio listeners, you are checking out the Fog City Horror, and we're going to discuss a few movies today. So listen in, call in, give us your opinion. Introduce yourselves, guys. I'm Morticia Monroe.
Hello, I'm Holly Hooch.
John.
John.
Just John.
And then we've got a guest with us.
Yeah, I'm Ted. I'm a guest.
And it doesn't matter that you're sharing Teddy. Mics with Morticia. It's hygienic. They're married. It's yeah, fine. It's fine.
True. It's all legal.
It's all completely legal.
Sort of. Sometimes.
Not in the eyes of God.
Define legal.
There's some papers.
There are some papers. All right. Well, let's get into it. You're listening to Fog City Horrors. Are we going to use horrors or horror? Horrors. Horrors. Horrors.
Well, you say it.
It says it in a graphic already, but I forget what it says.
I like that. We've already decided this.
Well, it's several movies, right? So it's plural.
Horrors.
Okay, there you go. There's more than one movie.
There's more than one movie, and we'll call it Fog City Horrors.
Yeah. Fog City Horrors.
The horrors. Preferred Fox
awesome.
Horrors.
All right, well, let's get into it.
We have horrors, just so horrors. You know, officially.
Officially, it is plural.
Graphic.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what I wanted
good
anyway.
Good question, though.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. All right, so we'll jump right in. The movie that we're going to kick everything off with is In a Violent Nature. Yes? Yeah. Yes. This is available on Shudder, which is a really great place to watch all your horror needs. You know, all right, let's kick it off. Like, what are we going to talk about?
I don't want to disrupt too quick, and we can edit this in post, but your mic level is extremely low. So
mine?
I'm not sure if you're coming through. Okay,
I can hear really well.
I hear you really well, too, but okay. If we're okay, we're probably okay.
Yeah, I think we're okay,
I can hear it pretty good. So this is a slasher film, so in the genre of slasher films. And Ted, I'm going to let you jump into this because... This is his first time, so he's the Fog City Horrors virgin. Yeah. But I
it's
love
your last
horror.
Cherry, huh?
It's your last cherry. I love horror, and I make him watch it all the time, but he'll say, it's like not necessarily his favorite. And then some of the things that I like, which we'll discuss a couple more movies later, he definitely isn't into. So he has always said he likes a good slasher film. And so this particular movie is Canadian, and... basically, you're watching through the eyes of the villain or slash monster. And so we're on his perspective from what he sees and what he hears, which is a really cool concept. Ted, do you want to start us off, though?
Yeah,
get up on that mic.
You know, really liking slasher films, especially of the 80s. It's definitely in that veil, but completely different at the same time. It's definitely, you know, it's a sleepaway camp. There's some sort of monster of some known origin, but that doesn't seem actually physically possible in the real world. Like, you know, he's kind of got the Jason thing where, like, he something happened to him as a child where he died, but the monster is a full-grown sort of person wearing lumberjack clothing and taking his revenge out on teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because it's from his perspective, like Morticia said, and it just kind of like follows him up from when he rises up to seek his revenge, and you know, the camera's like following around, but it's more than that. Like, you know, one of the weirdest things about it, which makes it all the more freaky, is there's no music,
right?
But there's a lot of Foley. There's a lot of, you know, you can hear every footstep, you can hear the sounds of the forest. Mm-hmm. And that makes it incredibly creepy. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah,
definitely. When it also is kind of notable for its lingering shots, which the opening of the movie, the first scene of the movie, is just a shot of the necklace in, you know, on hanging on a piece of wood in the cabin, and it just stays there, and we hear the dialogue of the characters off screen. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, okay. You know, I've seen this kind of thing before, but they're definitely pushing it further than normal, you know, where we're just not cutting to anything else and all we're hearing is the dialogue, and then we see the kid grab the necklace. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, throughout the movie, there's just shots where we're just kind of sitting and looking at a single thing, or looking at, you know, following the killer walking and things like that. So definitely, I thought that was like a thing that I was sort of conflicted about in terms of liking it in some ways.
Or and same.
Being annoyed.
Disliking it in other ways.
Slightly annoying.
Where I was thinking, you know.
Impatience.
What are we doing, you know? What is this?
Can I piggyback off that, John, before? Sorry, dear, if I cut.
Oh, no, please.
So even though there's those long scenes, and one of the first main scenes is just following the back of the head. You're basically behind the villain walking, and you just can hear what he hears ahead of him. And the grass, and just like the crunching of his boots on the leaves in the grass. And so while it could be annoying to a horror movie fan, even if you're not a horror movie fan, you're just a viewer, what I liked and what I think the director's doing, though, is it does increase a sort of sense in your mind, like a tension, I guess you'd call it, right? Because we're so used to like Fast and Furious in this day and age that you get impatient. And I think the director was doing that for a reason. To annoy you, to put you on edge. What's going to happen? What's going to jump out? Why are we looking at this? You start to get that heightened sense of like emotions, so that when the next horror type of scene comes up, you're really kind of like overworked emotionally, which would make the scare factor just a smidge higher.
That's interesting. I kind of felt like it had a different effect on me. So without, first of all, it's such an interesting experiment, right? It's such an interesting take on a horror movie, because we are all so trained to anticipate things through the sound editing, through like lighting and whatnot. So I really, really liked how this movie had a very natural look to it, of course, right? That's the whole point. There's no thing, all the bad shit's happening in the daytime, which there's no saturation of colors or desaturation of colors. It's just very realistic. And so it has that sort of spooky vibe of like, oh, you're in a completely beautiful space, like when you go out camping, and you can get absolutely brutalized out there, and nobody would help you
because
you're so far away from society.
Yeah,
I blame society.
Worst possible place to be.
Exactly. And so I love that element of it. I thought it was so unique and cool, but I had to admit that without the special tricks of the trade, it didn't build any tension for me whatsoever. I felt like I was moving from scene to scene going, all right, okay. But I do have a really big impact on me in a later on scene, like the big bloody gory scene, which I'm sure we'll get to a little later. I don't want to, you know, jump the gun.
Yeah.
So initially, you know, I liked the natural elements, but then later it actually started like really slowing down for me because it was like, yeah, I guess we're on a hike.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, totally. I totally get that. I can totally feel that feeling of of that too. And you know, some of the, you know, the lack of music too, just like you didn't know when something was going to happen that was completely over the top or just kind of boring, because there was like, you know, I guess
no jump scares either.
No jump scares, but there was sufficient gore in the kills, but some were like just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, some guys got off easy, and then the chick got it real bad on the cliff.
He really didn't have a style of killing people.
Like, he was just all over the place, man.
No, that was one of the thoughts that I had about it too, was that it's very slow and still the movie 90% of the time, but then you get these really big gory kills, but not every time, as you were saying. And what occurred to me was, it's like, okay, I'm kind of okay with this, what you're doing, but I feel like every kill has to be huge and over the top if you're going to do this, so that it's worth the waiting and worth the kind of slowness and stillness to get there. But the fact that I think the first kill was kind of an off-camera kill was kind of just like, eh, whatever. And then when we get the next kill, which I think was one of the super gory graphic ones, it was like, oh, okay, cool.
It
and
was
then
the
more gory ones, which was cool. Mm-hmm. But the, yeah, then I think there was maybe one or so other kills that were kind of off screen or not really done.
The
I was like, why are you doing that?
The girl in the lake just popped up.
That was a cool scene too. I mean, like where he's just walking his way, like very Fulci style. I'm just gonna walk the. I'm gonna walk the lake.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I love the how this his backstory is a total cliche. It's like
a little bit.
You hear that like they're on a campfire, like want to hear a scary story that happened here 30 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I listen to true crime shit. That's not the scariest thing that could happen to a kid. Let me just say.
And it really is Jason from Friday the 13th. And I'm gonna say this may be a hot take or maybe not a hot take. But I'm just going to say, like, my box quote for this movie, if they put me on the box, is that somebody finally made a good Friday the 13th movie.
Whoa.
Ouch.
Wow. Jeez.
I'm going to go hot take and say there are no good Friday the 13th.
Hey, the Crispin Glover one was just fine.
I love the first one so much.
I like the second. I think it was the fourth one.
The second one's good, too.
Mike?
I think just so there wouldn't be so much of a backstory, like, so we can jump right into it. Because we are seeing it from their perspective. Like, there's not a lot of time to go, like, you know, this is the backstory of this guy. So they kind of went with something familiar, I think, that we all knew or seen. Or like, oh, instantly you're like, oh, this is kind of a Jason character.
Yeah.
Right. Friday the 13th, 2 and 3 are the greatest movies of all time.
Which one's the one with Crispin Glover? Is that 2 or 4?
So 2 is the one, the first one with
the original,
Jason.
Yep.
The first one with Jason. So the first one with Jason as the murderer, not his mom.
Yep.
Right.
So 2, and then 3 is the 3D one that is just over the top, dumb.
With Corey Feldman, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's just because it's 3D, and 3D was like, you know, still campy and stuff. They have like really dumb kills where like they squeeze a guy's head and his eyeball pops out at you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I like that one because it's cheesy. and yeah, there's no cheesy kills in this one, I don't think.
No.
Wait, what do you consider a cheesy kill?
Let's get into the cheesy kill because that is okay. Let's just get into that.
Just because
we're
going to struggle over that.
You know, it's because this is just a simple kind of slasher movie, and we said we didn't want to jump into the kills, but it is kind of the part of what defines a slasher movie, right? Mm-hmm. Is that there's body kills.
Yeah. I didn't want to rush it, I meant. Let's talk about the kills.
We were going to warm up first and not rush right to
character structure.
Well, I've been officially warmed up, so I am ready. So there's a scene where one of the girls is standing on a cliff and she's just kind of looking out at the water, and our killer comes up behind her and cuts into her from the back. And pulls her head through her body.
That was brutal.
It was real brutal and bloody and slow, kind of. And she looks like she's going to jump off the cliff, but decides not to and just sort of, like, gives up and lets him...
She should have jumped.
She could have jumped, but she didn't. And so it's very intense, like she knows she's going to die, et cetera. But anyway, I thought it was super corny, whereas Ted, what'd you think of that scene? Because he was really pooping and hollering and losing his shit.
Scene in a slasher movie in a while. Just because, you know, it's always, like, taking it one more. You know, like it's just like, okay, she's dead. He already like put his entire arm through her body, but then, oh no, he's going to put a hook in her head and pull her head through her body. I'm not giving anything away because you have to see this to actually comprehend what's happening here.
Yeah, and I was like, that took a long time. Yeah. That's like cross stitching. Like that is like dedication to a very brutal murder.
Yeah, that's. No, the kills are all really good. That's the highlight of the movie, and they're probably better than most slashers. I mean, that's the thing, too, where I was saying that this is a good Friday the 13th movie, because the kills in this movie, I think, are better than anything. You know, it's like the famous kills in Friday the 13th is like Jason picking up somebody in a sleeping bag and slamming him against a tree, or like... Kevin Bacon, like the arrow coming through his neck. You know, it's like they were cool for the time, but these go so much further.
They go harder for sure.
And are done in a very realistic way. A lot of the kills in the classic slashers are more, are cheesier looking. And I would even hesitate to say that that's because the technology was somehow worse in the past because
somehow.
Because it's like, you know, it's like, oh, technology gets better. But I feel like special effects technology. You had Tom Savini mm-hmm. doing the special effects for Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. He's the master. Like, they had you know, access. And they had good kills. But I don't know. I just think this definitely actually outdid those movies.
Well, also, it has the benefit of retrospect, right? So they're able to look at all these old-ass kills and go, we could do better. And they have to. They have to do better. Because otherwise, this movie wouldn't have been interesting to anybody.
No. If this movie had not had the good kills, it wouldn't. You'd just be thinking, what the hell is this?
Like, what am I even doing here?
They did include that this killer, like most killers that are somehow walking corpses that have such dexterity that they can throw an axe really far and actually hit somebody. I don't know if you ever tried to do that. I haven't tried to hit a person, but, you know, tried to hit like a log, and it's pretty fucking hard.
Interesting.
Can I say one of the kills, too, is cool with the, like, log slicer?
Yeah, that's the one.
Because they were like, I thought they were going to put his whole, I thought the killer.
He was going to get split in half.
Split in half up, even like
I was nervous about that, yeah.
I was thinking even on his stomach, like up through the ass, like kind of from the backside, would be real brutal.
Yeah.
But him just being like,
Terrifier
you know, defenseless because he's alive, but he had a spinal injury, like, was pretty cool. Like, he's still alive, but I don't think he could feel anything necessarily, hopefully. But that was pretty cool.
I did think that the whole lack of music or ambiance music, whatever, I can't remember what it's called, that was really effective in that scene, because you're like, ooh, yeah. Oh, God.
I think it made it slower.
It made it slower and grosser, yeah. Which kind of makes you think, it kind of adds in a little bit of horror from, like, real life, where, like, when these things happen, because they fucking do, it must be so slow and it must be so quiet. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it puts in, like, a tiny little sliver of reality, which is jarring.
You know what was really cool about the no music, even though there's heightened sound mm-hmm. effects, was the bugs.
Oh,
so, like,
yeah,
that one
yeah.
scene where you hear, like, weird bugs and weird animals, and it's, like weird, just, like, those creepy, in the, like, if anyone's, we've all gone camping together, so, okay. I was going to say, has anyone gone camping? Probably. Duh, yeah. I've gone camping with you guys. So those Michigan summers at night, because we would go camping every year, you have those creepy, weird sounds, right? Like the mosquito, mm-hmm. you can hear mosquitoes, you can hear animals, you can hear all the, like, crickets, and to a heightened sense if you're scared. And I like that when she was running away and kind of got lost in the woods and was kind of tripping, because that pitch black in a woods where even just walking to the bathroom, like when you're camping, you feel like it's so far and it's so scary and it's so dark. To get lost, I could imagine it is, like, scary enough, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even without a murderer following you, because you just imagine, like, all the things coming out of the dark, right? So the woods are always, like, a perfect setting for, like, mm-hmm. any horror.
I like how this movie, too, like, where most horror movies, if, say, like, somebody gets a machete to the face or something like
machete
that.
Machete to the face.
It's, you know, it's usually they overdo it, like, you have to hit him four times in the face with the machete, like, once enough, right? You know, there's scenes in this where, like, there's one where he's hitting somebody in the head with an axe and just keeps doing it, like, well beyond, of course, dead, but, like, and well beyond this must have, you know, given your bloodlust some sort of closure.
Yeah, someone's taking a nap.
Yeah.
Satiated.
It's like, why are you still hit? Why? I mean, there's no more of his head left. I mean, let's come on. It's gone too far.
Yeah.
All right. Do we feel we've talked enough to give a verdict? Or
well,
what else you got? What else? What
so
you got?
I do want to point out that the walking. So two things with the general structure and pace of the movie. One, I feel like there's a term in video games where people, it's a sort of derogatory, but also kind of a true term that people will use when describing certain video games, which is walking simulator.
Oh, sure.
And this movie is a walking simulator.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it even does the video gamey thing where the camera sort of floats behind him at the same mm-hmm. distance. Yeah. And when he changes direction or position, it moves with him, which is very video gamey. And it just felt, I was like, okay, this literally kind of feels like you're playing it, you're the serial killer video yeah. game, and you're moving him around and walking
for sure.
the forest.
Point of view.
Yeah.
He also had very, like, rhythmic, like, movements too, as if he was an mm-hmm. animated character.
And then, which leads me to the second last point I just want to make about this movie, which is that Now that we have streaming movies and we're not really playing movies in theaters and things like that anymore, I feel like there's like a weird obligation to make movies an hour and a half or longer.
Right. Yeah.
And that this is a really good case for a movie that if you cut like 30 minutes out of this movie and made it an
totally
hour,
fine.
Instead of, it would be significantly better. But it would only be an hour long, so it's like, oh, it's not a real movie. But,
I can't pay $15 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but, yeah, you could edit out a lot of fluff from this movie, for mm-hmm. sure.
And turn it into a really strong movie with those kills, and if you kind of paste it in a more conventional horror pace, like a faster pace, then I think something that's maybe significantly better.
Agreed, yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
You got something else, Morticia?
No, I was ready to score because I have... Yeah. What I'm
gonna ready
say,
to score.
What,
you're ready to score.
What I say, I don't need to be warmed up that long. I'm ready to score.
I'm ready to score.
I mean? I don't need all that build
Jeez.
Up.
Jeez.
I'm fast.
I brought you a hot
like
pocket.
Fast.
You're not getting dinner. Let's go.
What I was going to say goes with the scoring. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, if we're ready for that, what I, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of rolls into why. So I really hated the ending.
Remind me, the ending
what
was
it's the very end?
So okay. So
the girl
gets rescued
by the lady in the truck.
Okay, but then
it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre ending.
Yeah,
basically.
And in fact, this was also very reminiscent of Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
very much
just
so.
Because of the whole lack of music and
that
stuff. Although,
me a lot of Texas
although they
Chainsaw.
Did have a little bit of tension in that one, which I done better. But yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So. Okay, so she gets away, and then that woman picks her up. And the whole time, the woman's trying to talk to her and ask her if she's okay and telling her stories and stuff while she's ready to, like, pass out. I thought it was really weird. So then I started thinking that woman is somehow related to, like, the villain's character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And at first we had thought mom, but it's too old because it had been, like, 70 years, they said. So
right.
Tim was like, no, that's, like, 70 years, so it's too long. Maybe it's, like, a granddaughter. So I was like, that lady's related to her, and it's all – or related to the murderer, and she's just, like, set up to get killed, as a lot of horror movies might do. Like you just said, where they don't end up rescued or saved. But then when she stops and she's like, I need to like tourniquet your leg because there's an injury from where she got like hurt on her
right.
bike running away. You're thinking there she's going to get killed too because
yeah.
then all of a sudden
you're
you just,
supposed to. Yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. so you just stare at the woods and there's mm-hmm. just like that long extended scene again, the woods, just some leaves. And then that was it. I was like,
okay.
really? Like that's our whole buildup and there's no like, something else has to happen. It's like they left loose ends that I was like, but
you wanted more closure.
But did he go back to the grave because she gave him a necklace? I mean, that I don't know.
It made him.
So I would give it like I don't know. I guess I mean for a slasher, it's cool, and I like that they tried to change it up. So I'd probably give it 3 skulls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. I was going to do the same. 3 skulls. I'm usually an easy grader. And the production on this was fabulous, of course, and I really like a lot of the ideas in it. And want to and all that good stuff, but we do a 5 skull rating, like Shudder.
Okay, all right.
And I will also go with 3 because I felt that while it's a really cool experiment, it also left me. I think it's very likely me that my attention span just can't support non music. I need something to cue me and my fear, mm-hmm. And I didn't get that, and so you only get 3 skulls. What about you, Tennis? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I love this film, but, you know, it's definitely because it has a different take on a
mm-hmm.
slasher film.
It is
what I
refreshing.
Like about it. I don't know if it's one I'm going to watch over and over and over again for the rest of my life like I do with some slasher films, but it's definitely cool. The kills were really great. It did get art filmy at the end, which was, I think they were trying to keep us on our toes of what's going to happen next, and then mm-hmm. nothing happens. You're kind of like, God damn it. And so that is an emotional reaction, and that's what I love about horror movies.
That's
so
right.
I will, but yeah, not the best I've ever seen, but definitely cool and definitely different. So I'm going with 4 skulls.
Ooh.
Nice. I think I would go with 3 because 3 out of 5 is pretty. Well, I don't know. 3.5? I think I'll go 3.5. Cause
okay. C+.
An extra half point for the kills and for having it be a good movie and still doing something that is so completely different than other slasher movies. And basically pulling it off, but also kind of, there are going to be a ton of people who are going to watch this movie and they're not going to get past the first like 10 minutes of the movie. Because I'm pretty sure there's not a kill for the first 10 or 15 minutes. So there's probably going to be people who are just like, boring, sucks.
Right.
But, but if you stick it out and watch the whole thing, it's actually a pretty good movie.
Neat.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're about total 3.5, I guess.
Yeah.
Three and a half and four.
3.75 skulls.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She got 5 just to even it out for a little better for this movie.
Jeez. It's not a 5.
I mean, these Canadians really went out. They had to go out in the woods.
I do love Canadians. All my favorite people
are
Canadian.
That's another thing that should be mentioned. It's a very Canadian movie.
Mm-hmm. He was pretty polite, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a lot of woods and like loggers and very Canadian.
He did seem like a nice killer because
he was kind of nice. He just wanted his goddamn necklace, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
but also
was that asking too much?
They had that scene where he was just kind of hanging out, sitting on the tree, like playing with it, that Hot Wheels.
When he found the keys. Mm-hmm. Well, when that asshole threw the keys in his direction and it landed at his feet. And I remember thinking, that's the guy you need to get. Get that guy. Make sure you kill that one. He's a jerk.
Yeah, you have to remember this is a child in an adult
monster's
body.
Mm-hmm. Which
makes perfect sense. And he found a mask. He did that. He's a corpse, and the first thing he's got to do is got to find a mask.
It was weird because I remember thinking, like, well, how much... like brain power does he have? How much dexterity does he have? Because at sometimes I'm like, does this guy know French? Like Jesus, like sometimes like his mental capacity seems really high and then other times it's really low. I'm like, you're so inconsistent, you big ass monster.
Well, maybe that's why he was teased. Maybe he was like a gifted 10-year-old.
Yes.
As a corpse, he's kind of just a dumb
monster. He's a dumb fuck. I shouldn't be cursing so much. Someday we want to make money off of this. All right. Well, let me go ahead and pop on some music so that we can get geared up for our next review. You're listening to Fog City Horrors. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody.
That's right.
We have two more films to talk about.
Welcome to Fox. Oh, there we go.
Sorry, I took down your microphone. No, I have control of your microphone.
Welcome to Fox City Horrors.
That's right. You're here with your hosts. I'm Holly Hooge, Marticia Monroe.
Fox City Horrors.
And John.
Scooch a little in.
Oh, scooch a little in, because this is also being videoed.
Just yeah. John, by the way.
That's just it. John.
It's just JJ, just John.
He did say I could call him Johnny last time.
Okay, yeah.
Johnny Horror. How fucking cool would that be? Okay, ooh. Johnny Horror.
Johnny Horror.
So we have two more films to talk about, and of course, can we get callers still?
Not now. I'm trying to look for the phone. I'm like, where is the phone these days?
We are on YouTube, and we have a channel, though. You can make comments.
Yeah.
And we're also on Instagram, and I just made a post today, and so you could hashtag Fox City Horror, ooh, make some comments for us, and we can talk about them next time, maybe.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about Cuckoo next.
Yeah.
Anyone want to start?
Sure. So, oh, my goodness. Who? I'm trying to remember the actress's name. Hunter something. Cuckoo. I'll look it up.
I just remember Hunter that they have the guy Cuckoo from...
Dan Stevens in everything, and he's awesome.
Your favorite?
He's all right. Sorry, my husband's in the room. But he's like, it's fine. Right, so we were just having a conversation about how Dan Stevens is in absolutely everything. He's been in like 80% of the movies we've reviewed.
Is he the guy from Downton Abbey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
I know.
Our friend Kim is listening from Detroit.
Oh,
and so Kim,
hi Kim.
This remember our actor from Downton Abbey that they killed off that we love? He's in this film. Okay.
In that car accident.
Continue.
Or something.
Yeah, in a really silly car accident where he's so happy because he just... Wait, let's not get into Downton Abbey. Because we could do a podcast just about that.
That's where I jumped off the show was when that happened.
Really?
Because it happened at the end of the season.
It like, did. Right, I'm you good. Jerks. Because it was very... how do you call it? Offhandedly done?
Yeah, and also the fact that... They were kind of going off the rails, I felt like, at that point. That was where they had that thing where it was like the survivor from the Titanic who was like a crazy supervillain during there. And I was like, what is this?
What's happening with this show? It's so funny because it's British. Oh, my God. Are we I'm trying not to get into
Downton Abbey.
Oh no!
No!
We went on a tangent.
Okay, let's.
I was like, this film's
let's
in the
refocus.
Bavarian Alps.
It's funny because Morticia didn't finish the movie, so she's like, "And then what happened?"
I had to look it up, but we'll get to that.
All right, so we'll just do a quick synopsis of the movie. So in this movie, we've got this family, which consists of mom, dad, little daughter who's probably around what, like 10?
Yeah,
I don't know, and then a grown teenage daughter who's supposedly around. Oh, she's 17, right? Because she's about to be 18,
right.
And she's about, or she is 18, something like that. But she's very close to being independent, but she's is having a really hard time because this family that she's in, it's her dad and his new wife and new daughter. And so her mom, first wife, has passed. You don't get to find out right away, but she's passed away. Throughout the movie, she keeps calling her and leaving messages on the recording answering machine, which why is there an answering machine? But there is.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And so they're in Germany? No.
Bavarian Alps.
Oh, Bavarian Alps.
Is that what it was?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're in this lodge, and they're supposed to be setting up another resort for Dan Stevens.
Right.
Dan
his
Stevens.
His name's Koenig.
I'm going to call him Dan.
So he's Herr Koenig was his name.
He's doing a German accent.
It's German. Herr Koenig.
He's good at everything, that guy.
Schnell.
My husband has left the room, so I can say that now.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
He's very handsome.
He's so handsome. Guys get eyes get blue.
Herr Koenig.
Anyway, so this whole family is staying there while the mom and dad are helping Dan Stevens set up a new resort. And he ends up giving the grown teenage daughter a job so that she can, you know, sort of like not be so mopey all the time. And that's where we find ourselves. Yeah.
The mopey teenage daughter.
I thought she was older. I guess I didn't pay attention enough to some parts of it because she seemed kind of old to me, like 21. And I felt she, even though it's hard to have the dad who got remarried, but now he has this daughter, but she's not a baby. She's like 10.
Yeah.
So she had a really long time to deal with it. I mean, I get the trauma of like a parent dying, of course, and that could last for a really long time. And if it happened when you were just like a little bit younger and whatever, her dad obviously got remarried about 10 years ago. So she's been dealing with that for a long time. But at the same time, I thought she seemed kind of spoiled for as independent as she probably should be.
Well, I get the sense that maybe the mom and dad separated,
yeah,
and then the mom died much later. I feel like the mom must have passed away within the last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Recently, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so and she hadn't been living with her dad and his new wife and daughter until right now.
Right.
And what's really cool about the movie or about this character is that I feel like, yeah, she's cusping on the, she's on the edge of being a full-on adult. Mm-hmm. To the point where it's like, your parent, like your dad and your stepmom don't have to deal with you.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to deal with,
like, you don't have anything. You don't have any skills. You're not going to college.
Right.
Like, you don't have any money. You don't have a job. Like, you, and they really don't need to fuck with you anymore. I mean, they should, of course, because, you know, that's the daughter. And but she's been so hard to deal with.
Which, there is a scene, too, where, like, the dad was, like, with her in the hospital, remember, and he had, like, stayed overnight, and she was kind of pissed off at him and kind of bitchy the next day. And she's like, you know, I haven't done anything wrong, and kind of whiny. And he was like, you know what? You actually did a lot of things wrong. You were on drugs. You took home a random stranger. You got into this crash. Like, you've done a lot of stuff wrong. So I'm mm-hmm. here doing my dadly duties. I don't understand why you're still complaining. So that was, I thought that was really interesting for, like, a thriller type of a movie, is there's a lot of these family dynamics.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, John, did you want to do, like, the back end of the synopsis?
Oh, wow. I mean...
Let me just throw a big old thing on your lap.
There's a lot to say about that.
I think we...
premise.
I think we summed it up pretty well.
Not even close.
I mean, well,
the creatures and the stuff.
Well, yeah,
I
mean,
it's a creature feature.
But just in terms of the general overview, okay. It's like you were saying, the people are helping set up a new resort,
mm-hmm.
and the disaffected teen who is annoyed at everything and listens to music on her headphones and.
I'll go ahead and give the rest of the spoilers, the premise is that there's these supernatural beings. Well, not supernatural, they're just evolved beings, maybe.
I mean, it's really not explained what they
at all, right?
Oh, can I tell you when I looked it up what it's called?
Okay.
The word brood, there's a name for it, correct?
Ooh.
It's called brood parasiticism. So brood as in children or offspring, correct? Yeah. Like B-R-O-O-D, brood. Parasiticism, meaning it's a parasite that is breeding and spreading its nature, like a cuckoo bird.
Right.
If you look up a cuckoo bird. So I thought that was interesting.
So cuckoo birds, which, I mean, I feel like everybody at this point knows because it's been all over social media.
Tell us, though.
They lay their eggs in other birds' nests that are not cuckoos, and then they will sometimes destroy the other eggs or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when when the cuckoo egg hatches, it will kick the eggs out of the nest so that it can get all the resources from the mama bird that's coming, and the mama bird can't tell it apart from her actual babies. Yeah. And so she keeps feeding it, and it grows exponentially faster, and it takes more of the resources, and it does kill, like, the other birds that are in the nest with it.
Kind of awesome.
It's kind of awesome.
So that's called brood parasiticism.
Brood parasiticism. Parasiticism?
Like a parasite.
Parasiticism.
Parasiticism.
Parasiticism. Parasiticism. I got it.
Parasitism, but it's not.
It's such an incredible, like, evolutionary trait. Like,
it is. You're kind of high up there, actually. I mean,
damn.
It's evil and wicked.
It's a little evil, but shit.
How cool, then, to base the premise of a movie on that? But.
Yeah,
and so this is what's going on in the movie, that there are these creatures that can. So what are they? Is it that they do when they screech? It makes you forget.
Disoriented when they screech. Mm-hmm.
But it creates a time loop.
Oh, that's right.
That's the coolest part I thought about.
Yes,
I liked the time loop and the effect and everything that they did.
Like
with
a reverberation.
It.
Yeah,
but I was ultimately annoyed that the time loop didn't play any part in the actual story.
It should have. It would have been very neat.
Because I was thinking...
Damn it, Dan Stevens.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, oh, cool, this is going to be a situation where these creatures can create this time loop.
Mm-hmm.
And when the daughter tries to leave the area with the
French girl,
she meets, the creature does the time loop and it causes them to crash and they can't leave the area. And so I was thinking, oh, cool. This is going to be a story where they're going to have to figure out how the creature works and they're going to have to figure out how to defeat the time loop so that they can leave and get out of
which would have been neat.
which would have been cool, but that does not happen.
That's not what happens.
So essentially what happens in broad strokes is that Dan Stevens is super aware.
Koenig.
Hashtag, damn it, Dan Stevens. Oh my goodness, do you think? Okay. I love Joe. So Dan Stevens has decided that he wants to breed these creatures. And so he's got the original, and he's got the original's daughter. And he has been allowing it to impregnate people that he knows.
With slime.
What's this weird slime? Because it's this weird ritual. Not a ritual, but that they basically inseminate the new host with their own seed, like a cuckoo mite, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, they don't do that shit. Anyway, and so that's how they reproduce, right? So they find it's a female-to-female sort of reproductive activity, which is very interesting. And so the mom from the couple that's setting up the resort was impregnated, and so the little girl is actually a cuckoo. If you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And so Dan Steven has invited them back to quote unquote set up the new resort so that he can get his hands on this little girl and study her and breed her or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's an experiment. And so I think it's Hunter Schafer. I want to say that's the actress's name, the teenage daughter.
And that's interesting that you mentioned that it's female to female, because remember our teen girl's a lesbian and ends up having kind of like a love scene with a woman. So I didn't think about that, like the lesbian tone of it, or the women don't necessarily need the men. Do we want to move into kind of like getting towards what happens at the end?
Sure, let's do it.
Because so she, you know,
because honestly, not to interrupt, I'll let you get back to that. Yeah. But that's a good point, because ultimately there's not a whole lot that happens in this movie. And so we kind of have to jump to the end, because it's like there isn't a ton of story here. But anyways, go back. So as you were saying.
Yeah, I feel like really the ending is kind of unique, because she was jealous of this sister, finds out this sister was one of these creatures and born from her stepmother, and then wants to save her and run away together, which I thought was interesting that you were jealous of her this whole time, and then this like creature, the mother, the real creature, you have to like destroy, and she kept trying to like hurt you, and so you would think she wouldn't like the sister. Thoughts?
Well, it wasn't. It was her being a shitty teenager. The stakes were low, you know. But when it really came down to it, it was this little girl who always looked up to her and always loved her so much. And they even do several parts where she, you know how she keeps calling her mom, who has, and then later you find out she's passed away. Yeah. She gets a box of her things, which include like the answering machine, and she hears her little sister calling her mom, and because she her little sister doesn't know the mom's passed away either, and she was like, if you could just return her call, because she really misses you, and she's in a home. So the little sister's very sweet, and so you know she kind of.
She's not an evil creature.
She's not an evil creature. She's just a creature. Mm-hmm. And so Hunter Schafer's just like, it's my little sister. And so at the end decides that she will care for her and nurture her. And yeah.
She can redeem herself then for being so selfish and kind of like weird this whole movie. So
and the thing is like, it's true. It's a very typical, you can say that it's a very typical reaction for a teenage girl to have to her parents splitting up and, you know, the dad starting a new family and feeling like she's left behind and she's lost her mom. Like,
and she's not her blood sister.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sister, so
and then technically she's not actually at the very end, because she's not even her dad's. Yeah. There was a lot of scenes in this movie that to me seemed like they were very Lynchian, very David Lynchian, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for example, at one point, like, we've left a lot of, like, points of the story out, because otherwise we'd just be telling you a movie. But there is this really great scene where the cop that has a vendetta because his wife was impregnated and was killed, I think, or was about to be impregnated and was killed. He's out for blood. He wants to kill the creatures, including the little girl. And there's a scene where there's one little cabin that is basically like the source. There's one little cabin that seems to be like where all this shit keeps happening over and over again. Mm-hmm. And at one point, like, he uses a pillow to silence his gun. Mm-hmm. And then it catches on fire and he's still shooting it. I was like, this has got David Lynch all over it.
Well, also, that was like, that part was like reminding me of Godfather 2 when
yes
when Robert De Niro Corleone wraps the towel around the gun to shoot.
And he's up against the wall.
Like, yeah, and he's hiding and he shoots that mob boss and it catches the end of the towel on fire. I was like, oh, that's like...
Yeah, that too, reference. Yeah.
But yeah, so I... This movie, it's like... So you know I love the lore for movies.
Lore galore.
And I have to ding this movie when we ultimately review, give the final scores for this movie. One of the things I did not like about this movie was the distinct lack of lore.
Mm-hmm.
And in a movie where there should have been lore... We should have learned
a lot about these creatures.
What these
yeah.
creatures are, what they're doing.
Good point.
What Dan Stevens'
what's their
motivation
backstory?
Is.
Dan Stevens.
No backstory at all. No lore at all.
No lore. And I'm a fan of Dan Stevens, and I thought he was doing a great job as the like German mads, literal German mm-hmm. mad scientist. Mm-hmm. But he needs that like speech that they give where he's telling someone, probably the daughter,
the cuckoo saved my great grandfather in the 1600s.
Yeah,
or the
villain exposition.
I need to breed them because.
Yeah, because they always got to tell you, and it's fun to kind of know what the deal is. And I understand when they want movies and stories to be kind of mysterious. Yeah. But there's a kind of a limit. It's like you can do the mysterious story, but then you give little clues and
Come
ideas.
On, right. Mm-hmm. You can't be full mystery.
And this actually, what you were saying earlier goes to a thing that's been bugging me about certain modern movies like Long Legs, where you found like the name of the creature in like extra information mm-hmm. online, which
Only
is
online.
Not in the movie,
right?
Right, and this is like an annoyance with me that a lot
All
of
the homework
that you'd have to homework
you mm-hmm. to go to other media to find out key information. Like it's mm-hmm. one thing to have extended lore in other media, that's fine, but when you have key information to the story in other stuff, it's like don't do that. Don't make me
work.
But have the movie.
If you
want to
know what's really going on, look up Wikipedia. You know?
This is a one-way relationship. You're supposed to entertain me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I gotta do work.
Give me a freestanding story that works completely on its own. And this movie does kind of work on its. It does basically work, but it's just like, yeah, no. I was feeling the lack of lore and
what's going on.
Yeah.
What's
I mean, I think it's stylistically valid, but. I don't like it, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, like that the not knowing is part of the fun. Yeah, fuck you. You know, why don't you just give me the fucking lore?
Well,
yeah.
The thing is, too, is it's like, okay, if you're in a story where there is no scientist and there are no experiments, then a lack of lore and information makes sense.
But these are scientists.
Yeah, but we're specifically the scientist who is doing this is one of our main characters.
And based on several scenes, it's a whole network of people working on making mm-hmm. this shit happen, not just yeah. one dude.
It's a whole secret organization, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's unexplained, and it's, which is whatever. But I agree with that. I think the movie was ultimately really good. I would say worth watching. I would... I feel like as horror fans, it's easy to recommend movies because as there's so much shit out there that if anything is even slightly remotely worth watching, you're going to be like, you need to watch this because there's so much shit out there. So I would say like, yeah, I mean, like it's definitely worth watching. It's I thought it was pretty fun. Dan Stevens.
Do we want to score? Because we have a lot to talk about with the next movie, I feel like.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, let's score it.
I have way more to talk about with this episode.
We got a whole hour left, so we got some time. But we can wrap this up, though. I mean, we're getting there. I was just going to say, yeah, I'll go ahead and score it. I would say 4 out of 5 skulls. I really enjoyed it. I thought the whole mid-century modern Bavarian Alps or whatever... Are there apps in Bavaria? Yeah, no. I don't know. Yeah, he's saying yes. I've never been. Hey, I'm going to find out next year, correct. Okay? I'm going next year. It'll be great. You guys want to come? Let's all go. Let's all go.
Bavaria is the capital of Germany. That district.
Okay. Continuing, 4 out of 5. I thought it was a good, solid movie. A lot of really good acting. I thought Hunter Schafer did really well. Like, I teared up. You know, when like there's like a breakdown and about moms, I'm like, I thought it was good on those different levels. I thought it looked fantastic. So, 4 out of 5. Blurb.
All right, just because I'm next to you, dear, I'll go next. So Holly said four?
Four out of five.
All right, I'm going to give it a three. I got bored.
I understand.
To be real, I quit watching it. And then I cheated and looked it up.
That's valid.
Just talking about the lack of lore and the homework, because I'm a nerd, I did all the homework and know more about it than the people who watched the whole thing, though, because I had to, you know what I mean, though? Like, I had to do the homework, so that's a negative. That's what we're saying.
I just didn't know the word prude parasitium.
Right? So, like, almost like what John's saying, I don't like that, because I mean, I didn't even finish it, but I know these, like, nuances about it because I read about it, whereas you guys watched the whole thing all the way through and should have known those nuances from the director. Even if he doesn't directly state it and it's slightly vague, you can still pick up on it. And I didn't pick up on any of what they were saying. Yeah. I didn't even know it was the Bavarian Alps. I didn't understand.
Wait, what?
Not until I looked it up. I learned it from reading it. It specifically says Bavarian Alps, or I wouldn't have.